there are other things that are on your heart and mind today. So let's just quiet ourselves before the Lord as we are preparing for the celebration this week. Present to the Lord whatever is on your heart, whatever is burdening you, whatever you're celebrating. Let's give it to the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, as we continue through this season of Advent, a time where we remember your promised coming again, we're also this week preparing for the birth of your Son. We're preparing for that day when your promises are fulfilled and your Son to come and lead us into a new life with you. And we celebrate this season. We celebrate the light, your light shining in the darkness. We celebrate the hope and the promise of what you're going to do through this child. Bring forgiveness of sin and new life to each one of us through this little one, who is you, the Son of God, God present among us. You promise to be with us at all times, to never leave us or forsake us. And so in this season, we lift up to you those who are on our prayer list today. We ask for your comfort and your strength for those who've experienced loss. We go through this week and prepare for those services. We pray, Lord, that you'll be with the families. All that this season is about that promise that those who trust their lives in you, for them, this is not the only life, but they will be with you, just as you are with us now, that we get to be with you forever. And so we celebrate that even while we grieve. It is also, it's a mixture of joy and sadness, which is true for this season. The joy of the birth of your Son, the grieving of our sins, and yet the forgiveness of those sins, and the joy of new life and promise for our future. So we place all of those who are on our hearts today, all those who will be traveling this week, whether to go to family or have family come in, we pray for your protection, and that their house might be filled with love. Love that comes from you. Love for one another because of you. And it is only because of that love given us through your Son that we can know what that means, the true blessing and depth of it. And we praise you and we thank you for that. We pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who has taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's stand together. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world. Father, we cannot outgive you, and it's a season for giving. You're giving your Son and us to give gifts of worship in response like the wise men did so long ago. Our gifts cannot compare, but yet it's a sign of our gratitude. We love you, Lord. We're so thankful for your love. Bless each gift and each giver. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be seated. Well, let's remain standing for the reading of gospel, it says. So, let's listen together to the word of the Lord.
The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor, David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative, Elizabeth, in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her. Said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God."
The word of God for the people of God. Let's join together in our second hymn, "Love Came Down at Christmas." Sermon together. Passage that follows our gospel for this morning, verses 41 through 47, continuing the story. Let us pray together. Oh God, I am but a man, and yet you have called me to be a servant, to be a vessel in your hands. And in my heart are many words, some that are mine and some that are yours. So let mine fall away, that we might hear you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Did you know that Christmas is about God keeping a promise? Not just one, but keeping many promises. We think about it when we hear John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him might not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus has come into the world to do that, to complete that, to fulfill. here in Luke, in chapter 1, Mary has just had this encounter with God, an angel saying to her that she is going to be the mother of God's Son. Hearing that, she decides to run over and visit her cousin, older cousin Elizabeth, who is now also expecting in the neighboring village. And here's what happened when she arrived. It says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and the baby was, of course, Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. Elizabeth, 6 months along at the time, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she proclaimed, "Blessed are you, Mary, among all women, and blessed is the child that you will bear." How many of you who are mothers, how many of you had someone say something like that to you when you were expecting? Anybody announce that to you? It's a rare thing, right? But the truth is, it is a blessing to be carrying a child. That word blessing is so important. It's a word that means integrated. It means whole. It means complete. It means you've got it all together. I can't imagine any mother who is expecting a child who doesn't want to hear those words, "You've got it all together," because most women at that point don't feel like they've got it all together. But that's what the angel says to Mary. What makes Mary, though, so special that she gets this particular blessing? It says in verse 45, it's because she believed that God will keep his promise. She believed, she trusted that God is going to keep the promise God has made. She believes God. Blessed. It means believing God when God says that God wants to do something in and through your life. Do you believe that? That God wants to do something in and through your life? Mary believed that. As a young girl, maybe 13, 14, hearing this news, she believed it was going to be true for her life. A promise. What is a promise? Think about promises, we realize that most promises have limits, don't they? They tend to be limited. Our children know that for sure. You have to be careful what you say to your children, because almost everything you say that you're going to do, they think of as a promise. And promises are important. We teach them, we keep our promises, right? But I remember on one occasion, I had promised my daughters that I was going to take them to a movie. It was one of those Disney movies that came out, you know, and I'm going to take them on a particular day at a particular time, and the day came along, and as it turned out, well, I had a special meeting. I had to go to New York City. I was, this conference is represented on the General Board of Global Ministries at the time. The meeting was set at the time, and I couldn't go. So we planned another time. But Dad, you promised. You promised. There was another occasion, my daughter's birthday, and there was a conference meeting. Turned out, you know, it was never supposed to happen again that I ever missed her birthday, but it happened one other time, and then it happened again. And I hadn't promised that it wouldn't happen again, because some things are, no matter what we say, we can't guarantee it is going to happen the way we want it to happen. To her, I had broken a promise. What do we mean when we say, "I promise"? What we usually mean is that I will do everything in my power to make sure that this happens. I will try my best. But we're humans and things happen. We emphasize the trying part. We intend for it to happen, but there's the deal. Many times our promises can't be lived up to for other reasons. There are things that are outside of our control. But for God, promises are unbreakable. They're made, they're permanent. In fact, fact, the biblical word for promise, we know what that word is. It's covenant, right? That's the biblical word for a promise. We think of contracts sometimes in relation to this. But we know something about contracts. They're promises of a kind. And there's usually something, a loophole in there. If things aren't exactly as they should be, then we can get out of it. But that's different than a covenant as it's described in the Bible. These are the kinds of promises that are absolute. They are unbreakable promises. God is going to follow through. We will say it's a done deal. I give you my word. But only God can do that perfectly. You can say, count on me. But the truth is, the only one we can really count on is God. The Bible, of course, God's word, is divided into two sections, right? We call them testaments. Testament, it's another word for covenant. We have the older covenants. We have the new covenant in Jesus Christ. Testament, covenant, promise. It's one of the reasons that the Bible is so important to us. It contains within its pages the promises that God has made to God's people throughout history. Unbreakable, absolute promises. You know, the Bible is the only religious book in the world that talks about things that are going to be in the future. Other religious books will talk about things that have happened in the past, but the Bible talks about things in the past, but it talks about things that are going to happen in the future. For example, Isaiah, written 800 years before Jesus was born, says that the Messiah is going to be born of a virgin. 600 years before Jesus is born, the prophet Micah says that the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. The prophets tell us about why the Messiah is coming. Luke says, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember God's holy covenant, God's holy testament promise to his people. Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, priest in the temple, he sings these words about Jesus, that he's coming to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, to remember the holy covenant, remembering and fulfilling God's unbreakable promise about his plan for his people throughout history. God expresses his love through keeping these promises. For God, it's not maybe. It's not if I can. It's going to happen. People who trust God's promises are blessed. Why? Because they lean on the promise. You know that old song, leaning, leaning. Well, we're leaning into the everlasting God, the arms of God. That's what trusting means, leaning, relying on. I was downtown a couple of weeks ago here. In town, I'm blanking out on the name of the new little, well, I don't know how new it is, but there's a little store downtown where they do arts and crafts with kids. You know what I'm talking about? And over Thanksgiving, we brought our grandkids over because they'd really like to do that kind of stuff. And on a Saturday, we were there. And as we were sitting there, this woman, an older woman, came up and was trying to get in. But there's this kind of a steep concrete going up to the step, and there wasn't any rail. And so I stepped out and reached out to help her up. She was leaning on me, trusting me to help her get in. Sometimes we don't want to do that because we're not sure. Is this person reliable? Well, as people, we're not always reliable. God is always faithful and reliable. God is someone that you can give up control of your life and lean into God and find guidance and strength and support. It's a promise. But we lack trust because people have broken promises in different ways. We lack that because we're afraid that it's going to happen again. Maybe we're angry because of broken promises. Promises. someone that we can rely on. And that's why Christmas is so important, because Christmas is when we look to God fulfilling that promise. You can rely on me. You can trust in me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Lean on God. God is going to be there with you thick and thin, help you and to support you and help to give you the peace that all of us hunger for in this season. Help us to find stability in our lives. God gives us that. It's a season of fulfilled hope because the Lord is sending his son into the world. But it can be a very painful time for many people because this is near the end of the year. And what do we do at the end of the year? Often one of the things that we do is we think about our hopes and we think about our dreams. And for many people, it's remembering the unfulfilled dreams, unrealized dreams, broken promises when they look back in their life. The Christmas movie, the Christmas Vacation, anybody seen the Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase? You know, it's, you know, all kinds of crazy things, right, go on in that. And the character who plays his father-in-law in the movie sees all the chaos going on, and he says, there is only one person who has all my problems. He says, I lean on Jack Daniels. Well, people of faith, we lean on the promises of God, the faithfulness of God, so that we won't be paralyzed by the pain that we've experienced. We won't be paralyzed by the struggles that we face. We lean into those promises, the expression of God's love. God helps us to embrace the future unafraid because God is faithful to those promises. So what is one of the promises? There are lots of different promises in Scripture, right? What is one of the promises that we lean on? Well, this is one you all know about, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, right? I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. My plans. They are plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans for a hope, plans for a future, says the Lord. God promises us that he has plans for us. That we're going to have a successful life. You trust that God has a plan for your life? Do you really trust that God has a plan for your life? God does. All of us have plans for our kids and our grandkids, right? One of the hardest things about being a parent is that we have these plans, we have these visions, we have these hope for the promise that is contained within them, but they don't always live up to it. We try to control their life for as long as we possibly can so that they can live into that promise. But there comes that point in their life where we have to let go and we have to let them make decisions on their own. And when they make those decisions, some of them aren't going to be the best ones and they're not going to work out. And they're not going to end up living up to the promise in the way we thought. Some way or another. But for them to grow, they have to be able to do that and make their mistakes. They learn to lean on God in those moments. And that's what we have to do. We have to trust in God's promise for them in those moments, right? Once there was a single mother who called me. She was raising three kids, and she was frantic because her oldest, a teenager, had run away over Thanksgiving. Very frightening thing, right? Lots of people praying, looking for her, and a well-meaning person, she said, had said to her, well, you know this is hard, but you still have two more. You know, and today, two out of three, that's pretty good. Says, doesn't God say, if there's one lost sheep, that's a bad thing? That's right. God does not want us to lose one. We certainly don't want, it doesn't matter how many we have, we don't want to lose even the one. Any of your parents ever worry about your kids? Scripture says, don't worry, because we do. It says, at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Jesus' parents took him to the temple to be blessed, to be connected with this larger promise of God. He was circumcised, fulfilling the Jewish law, and then he was named in the presence of those gathered there, in the presence of God. Names are important, aren't they? They're really important. They identify us to the people in the world so they know who we are and can call us and get us our attention, but they're more important than that, because when these names, they also are about God's promise for our lives. Did your parents ever say to you, live up to your name? You ever say that to your kids? Remember who you are. Don't forget your name. They usually said that when we were getting in trouble for something. But it's not just the name that we decide for them. It's the name that God gives us. Christian. When we're baptized, we present the child, bring a child for baptism. We present the child. We ask for the name. We name them in the presence of God. They're not just giving the name that we are giving them, but they're also then given the name of the Son of God. Christian. Martin Luther says that means little Christians. You're told to live up to your name. You're being, live up to the image of Christ. Live into that name. Can we do that? Can you do that? Live into that name, to the image of Christ? Names matter. On the eighth day, Jesus named, connected with God's promise. It's one of the reasons we baptize children. We connect them with God's promise, even before they might understand. For those that do that, or maybe you have come up and you have them dedicated, you're presenting them before God. You're naming them there, and you're asking God to bless them, to work in their lives. Every Jewish family did this with their boys on the eighth day. And it's saying, you know, God has a promise for you. When we do this, we're connecting you to God's promise for your life. You're part of God's plan. You can trust God in your life. We're saying that. What a powerful thing to share with your children throughout their lives. You are part of God's plan. God has a plan for your life. There is promise in Scripture for you. You are claimed by God's eternal promise and named after his name. And so every time we have a baptism, that's what we're also remembering. God's promises are for me and for this person being baptized. God has a promise for you. God has a plan for you to be part of Jesus' mission. And you can try to run from it. You can try to hide from it. But the reality is you will never find peace in your life until you connect yourself with this. One of the most powerful stories I ever heard was I was in seminary, and my Christian education professor shared this with the class one day. He says, you know, I was not raised in a Christian home. I found out when I was in college, in conversations with friends, they were talking, somehow the subject of baptism came up. He said, I don't know how it came up, but it came up. And they were talking about how they'd been baptized as a child. And I was home over break, and I said something to my parents about it, kind of strange thing. And they said, well, we had you baptized. You did. He didn't know. And so he started studying what that meant. And then he said, you know, it was because of that that I came to know the Lord. Because I'm here now today. Found the Lord. We call that prevenient grace, the activity of God working in our lives even before we know anything is going on, so that we can respond to that opportunity of faith when that time comes. God has a plan for you and will lead you into it even when you're not looking for it. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, to give you a future even when you may doubt. God's promise is a gift for all of us. We presented our gifts, but there's no greater gift than what God is making available to us. Maybe you're just now experiencing that sense that God is calling you to do something. You really are being called to do something with your life. Maybe you're just hearing it like Mary heard it on that day. to complete, to have it all together. And he ends up giving us his Holy Spirit so that we can do that. You may have given up on God. But God never gives up on you. Do you believe that? God never gives up on you. It's amazing. In fact, the real reason that you are here today, come out on a cold day like this, is because you want to be connected to God. You want to feel God's presence in your life. There'd be no other reason to come out than you want to be connected to God today. You want to trust the Lord, that the Lord does have promise for your life, for those in your family. And so I want you to remember that. And when you're struggling, remember God has a promise for you. You might not see it right now. And then pray, Lord, help me to trust your promise for me. Thing is, we focus on the problem that we're facing right now rather than on the promise. It's real easy to do. So in the face of those problems, just lean into the promise. God says, Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Do you believe that? He's present with you. Whatever's going on in your life right now, God knows exactly what it is, what you're struggling with, and is walking with you through it, giving you the resources to deal with it. Paul writes, nothing can separate you from the love of God in Jesus Christ, neither height nor depth nor angels or principalities, things that come. Things that have been. Got a little bit of feedback going on here. God's love never ends. God never forsakes us. It's an incredible thing. In Genesis, God promised an old man, going to have a child. Abraham hears about it and he just laughs. Says, shall a child be born? Years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90, bear a child? Anybody here 100? Somebody here in their 90s? Ready to have a baby? No. God wants to give birth to something through your life, even at your age. Can you believe that? Do you believe that for yourself? I've had somebody tell me one time their kids were raised and gone, and there was something going on. Well, I did my time. God's not done with you yet. No matter what your age, it's amazing how many children find the faith in Jesus Christ because of the older mentors of the church who nurture them and encourage them and speak love into their life. You have amazing ability to raise children, whether they're your own or not, to give birth to faith in their life if you trust that. God has promised. God promised fulfilled for Abraham and Sarah and for Zechariah and Elizabeth and then for Mary and Joseph. And God's promises for you will be fulfilled and is faithful to you, just as faithful to you as he was to them. That is the promise of Christmas. God with us. God wants to bless you, make you whole, make you complete, heal you. And so as we prepare in this final week, lots of stuff going on, last minute details to get everything ready for the family together. But the question really is, are you preparing for the presence of God? For the new birth of God in your life? Are you looking for that promise to be fulfilled in you? Yet, even today, no matter what your age, in Jesus you have been named and given a promise and connected to the mission of God, a promise of blessing and wholeness and completeness that you get to share and give to the world, to introduce the world to that. And that's my hope and my prayer for you this week. That in the midst of all the bustle, you'll find that time We're so grateful for your love and your promises fulfilled in the past and those for our lives in the present and going into the future. We look to you that you might give us the strength so that we can lean on you in these uncertain times, and that as we go into the world, we might be the light that points others to you, that they might find their hope and their strength and their joy and their peace fulfilled this season in the fulfillment of your Son coming into the world. Bless our families. Bless our gatherings.